It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here. 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matthew Barros. We are days away from the first round of the NFL draft. 49ers sitting at 31. We both were there for John Lynch's pre-draft presser. Barros, day later, anything hitting you? Anything that you want to bring up right away as we get into this first round?
Yeah, well, you and I may have had different takes on what Lynch said about late round picks this year. Mm. I asked him, you know, at being at 31, does that make you think that another team is going to try to trade back into the first round and call you guys up? Have you gotten any calls yet? And he said, no, but I expect them to come later this week. He seemed to be basically sending out a flare to the other GMs. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, call me up.
I agree with that. Where do we disagree? I agree with that. I think he was like saying, hey, there's a quarterback there. We'll take some extra picks.
Yeah, now, no. But, you know, he very quickly kind of transitioned. It made me think he wanted to talk about this, which was that his point was that NIL means that so many college players that they expected might come out in the draft didn't, 83. Mm-hmm. And so his point was that the late round picks, sixth, seventh round picks that usually are part of a trade up scenario like that, aren't going to be
they'll be like undrafted. You're taking undrafted guys, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. They won't be as attractive anymore. So that told me that he thought that the idea of trading back, picking up an additional second round pick, some extras is less likely because he doesn't want those sixth and seventh round picks that might come with that. But I think that you had a different take.
Yeah, I think, you know, it doesn't have to be a sixth or seventh. It could be a fourth, right? It could be.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Why would he bring that up at that point?
Good point. I think he was kind of all over the place sometimes. You know, it is. There's contradictory things going on publicly and privately. You know, you have sort of this, but then you want that. And, you're circling this, but there's reasons to go another way. I think if it's a quarterback, they'll be able to get the fourth or the third round pick, you know, and get an early second round pick. And maybe that would make it worth it. If it's not a quarterback, you know, Michael Penix might go top 15. Right. And Bo Nix might not be worth it. So I was thinking mostly quarterback at that spot. And if there's a quarterback, he's basically saying, give us a call. We'll be interested because we think. The guys, I just thought the way he was talking, Barrows, you disagree, was he was talking like one of those second round offensive lineman. That's what it seemed like. He seemed like that's what he was describing, is these guys who can play multiple positions, you know, maybe for down the line, you know, you're not just drafting for the media. It's like, he's not talking about Guyton when he's saying that. He's not talking about Mims. Like, he's really talking about, you know, Rose Gardner, these other guys who project as like possible guards or tackles who may be, you know, like, okay, in 3 years, he's your, you know, could, might be your left tackle kind of thing, but not right now. So if you take that, you take, hey, maybe if you want to call us for 31, I just think that they're positioning themselves, at least seems like to me, that like, hey, if they can get 41 and have their 66 and, you know, whatever, all the other picks, whatever that second round pick is, like they might go with quantity over quality because they don't love 31. That sure didn't, to me, didn't sound like a guy who was in love with somebody at 31. Maybe.
Yeah, really. And that would correspond with the types of guys that they brought in. A lot of sort of mid-second round, late second round types of talents. Matt Maiocco had a name. This was the first real kind of first round pick, surefire first round pick that the 49ers had brought in. And that's Nate Wiggins, a cornerback from Clemson. He also was one of their visitors. You know, most analysts think that he's going to be gone well before 31, but it sort of gives you some insight into, okay, they're also looking at cornerbacks at this spot. And if they pick at 31, that would be a, you know, as good a position as any, just given where they are in terms of contracts and things like that. And that would, that would mesh with what he was saying about, you know, we're picking this year, but really we have our eye on 2025, 2026. So if it's not Wiggins, it could be Kool-Aid McKinstry. There's a couple of other, you know, cornerbacks, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who could go, who could fall to 31 as well. So I think that's a position that 49ers fans should probably keep their eye on as well.
And one thing, Barros, you got me on this one, and God knows they could do it a different way. But if, well, let's bring up the Brandon Ayuk situation. Certainly rumblings I've heard, and Mike Silver was very specific on it, that, you know, these, the 49ers are open to trading him. I've just heard that both sides are kind of tense right now, that there is some understanding that this could be decided on Thursday if the 49ers get the right offer. I don't know the terms of what that would be. I'm thinking first round pick. Source told Silver that could be a second round pick. And that would be something if they trade, you know, a young receiver who's the quarterback's best target for a second round pick. Man, you better be in love with that second round pick. But let's say it's a first round pick, and you, as you noted, they really haven't brought in a receiver or been at like heavy at the pro days of one of those receivers. You might go 16, 18, 24, you know, that third tier of a really deep wide receiver draft. Man, I it would be hard to make that split decision, I think. You know, at that moment, you're on the clock. You know, whoever's at 18 will trade you 18 for Brandon Ayuk. Do it now. It's hard to pull that trigger if you haven't been at the pro, right? You haven't had him in. You know, like, you're just going to, okay, we're going Brian Thomas, you know, from LSU. We'll do it. It's would be hard for me to do that. Could you see that, Barros?
I mean, a couple of years ago, the Titans traded A.J. Brown to the Eagles, and it was for a first-round pick and a third-round pick. And there was nothing else. It was just for A.J. Brown. That seems to be what, you know, might move the needle for the 49ers. So if they got both of those, would they kind of hesitate and say, oh, we didn't really work out, you know, Brian Thomas or – Adonai Mitchell or somebody else that they want to take there, Keon Coleman from FSU. I mean, obviously they've looked at these guys. Their scouting staff has been through the University of Texas, for example, for Mitchell. He started out at Georgia. So they would have gotten multiple eyeballs on him throughout his collegiate career. They do like to bring in their first round picks. And I would think that, you know, John Lynch would want that. I mean, sort of this whole idea about, you know, locker room and character, that's the reason why you bring these guys in. I think it's so funny that the Commanders are getting all sorts of heat for bringing in a lot of their 30 visits all at once. to see how they interact. I mean, this has been like controversial because Pro Football Talk put it up there. 49ers have been doing that since 2017. Mm-hmm. And nobody seemed to bat an eye when they do it. But, you know, it's all about culture and bringing in the right guys and seeing how they interact with their peers and this, that, and the other. Not having brought one of those guys in, to your point, who's now replacing Brandon Ayuk, proven commodity, proven, rapport with the quarterback of the future on your team. Yeah, that would surprise me.
And Kyle Shanahan's position, the position that Kyle is hard.
Shanahan picks these guys off of tape. I mean,
he does.
I mean, that's the one thing that gives me pause is that if Shanahan likes a guy on tape, you know, he's gonna convince himself that this is the guy. But it's Lynch who's the big mm-hmm. culture guy. And I would think that Lynch would have a hard time making that pick.
Just, you know, if they're – and I do think they could trade Ayuk. I mean, I'm not – I certainly believe they could trade him. I think the two sides are pretty far apart. Now, this might be a staring contest. Like, the 49ers have to say they're ready to trade him. And Ayuk's people have to say, we're ready to be traded. Like, you know, that has to happen in negotiations, I guess.
Well, look what happened with Bosa. I mean, they said they didn't have any sort of hard stance with Bosa. Oh, we love Bosa. We're going to give him the biggest deal ever. You know, we're not going to fine him for missing training camp. He misses all of training camp. I mean, they don't want that with Ayuk. They don't want that with somebody who needs chemistry with another player. Bosa, you could sort of, you know, get away with it. He's a defensive end. Yes, there has to be chemistry with the guys rushing around him, but not as much as quarterback and wide receiver.
Yeah, and receivers can get out of shape, right? We've seen that, maybe not with Ayuk specifically, but we have seen that with a certain other receiver.
Yes.
And I don't know. This one's a weird one. I think this might be brinksmanship with Ayuk and the 49ers. They're both kind of have to go down this path and see if the other side's serious about it. And that means you might do it. It means there might be a trade because somebody might not feel good about this. But he's best on the 49ers. The 49ers are best with him. It would behoove both sides to figure this out. But they, you know, if the money's far apart, the money's far apart. And Ayuk has every right to demand top three receiver or whatever. And the 49ers have every right to say, we're not going to pay that. I would think this might get nudged along faster than some of the others, which are signed in August, mid-August, or in Bosa's case, like September 6th. But because he's so, I think, valuable, you know, he's different. Debo, whatever, we aren't going to get enough. Ayuk, other teams want. Ayuk is just like, it feels like there's a trigger point. Once you decided you can pay him, you might as well pay him. And once you've decided to trade him, you might as well trade. Like, it really feels like this is going to be decided. I guess this might go to Friday if it's possibly for a second round pick. Man, that would not be a comfortable couple days though if they're possibly trading him for a second round pick. Real fun, right? That could be Thursday night when we don't know if we traded Ayuk or not.
Well, that's going to be a good question to ask those guys on Thursday night. I mean, are your phone lines still open for an Ayuk trade? If the answer is yes, yeah, that's real interesting because I would imagine all these teams would hand over a second round pick for a proven commodity for sure. Absolutely. Yep. So, I mean, I've heard the only thing that's going to move the needle is a first round pick. But that was, you know, a couple months ago. So did they change their tune because the negotiation got more difficult because the asking price is so high? Maybe they did. I still think that it's going to go the way these others have gone. Sort of the spectrum is on a scale of Fred Warner, which was a relatively easy negotiation, to Debo Samuel, or maybe Bosa was at the top. I don't know. But my sense is that this is somewhere on the higher end, but not quite as antagonistic as the Debo Samuel negotiation got.
And the underlying thing to all this, which at some point doesn't make sense with maybe some of the hostilities here, we haven't talked about it a ton because we don't really know how it's going to work, is that Ayuk's represented by the same agency that represents John Lynch. And his agent is has been, I don't know if he is now, one of John Lynch's better friends. That's weird. I don't know. Have you gotten any indication of how that's working?
No, I haven't. You know, the same agency also repped Fred Warner. So they've got a history of doing deals with the 49ers. I don't really know the agent very well. I haven't dealt with him. He's sort of an up and coming agent. He's got, you know, several high profile clients. Yeah, he wants to have a huge deal here. Yeah. So I think that's what's at stake. To the agent's credit, though, it hasn't gotten juvenile like the Deebo Samuel one has gotten. It's almost gotten that way, but the agent has stepped in a couple of times already and said, okay, no, this hasn't happened. Get your sources right. That's not quite correct. So I do give him credit for sort of doing that. And I wonder whether that's because of the relationship he has with John Lynch.
Yeah, I've heard little inclinations that there has not, I've been writing, there's not been a public trade request. I think there might have been some indications that if you can't get this deal, then trade them. Like something like that. Don't aggregate me. I'm not saying I know that for sure. But I've just gotten like, there's been mentions that, he's been denying it a lot. Gee, if you're denying it a lot, it keeps getting reported. What does that mean? You know, it. Like there's some thought, some idea that, you know, well, I'll just put it this way. It's not hard to believe. Like, I don't think the IU camp is against him getting traded to a place that will pay him, right? I mean, they'd be in favor of that. They want the deal that's the best deal that they can get. And if that's with a team that he can be traded to, they would want to be traded to that team. Mostly, I think they want the 49ers to pay him that money. And maybe, you know, they'll find that the 49ers are willing to pay them that money. It's just not been the case at this point. It's a little tense. It will be a rollicking day there on Thursday, no question. Because I don't think this is going to be like a, you know, 2 hours before. I think this is on the clock pick. You know, all of a sudden the team that's picking at 18 will be, whoop, the 49ers now picking at 18. You know, it's going to be something like that. We're going to have to be on our toes. And, hey, the first round has not been very exciting for a while for the 49ers. Even when they had the first round pick, when they traded up to Trey Lance, that was not an exciting thing once it happened because that they were going to take Trey Lance. Well, a day or two before or that day, they decided to take Trey Lance. I'm still getting hit for that one, by the way, Barrows. Oh, yeah, you're the one who got sold on they were going to take Mac Jones. You know why I was sold on Mac Jones? Because the entire league thought they were taking Mac Jones 3. And I think many in the 49ers building thought Kyle Shanahan was taking Mac Jones 3 until Shanahan came back from a weekend thinking about it and kind of was persuaded or convinced himself to take Trey Lance. That's my little spiel there. I'm not the guy who got hooks, line, and sinker misled by the 49ers. I think the 49ers misled themselves, if anything, because they were way down the road at taking Mac Jones. All right, Barrows, anything else you got?
It can behoove a team to have another team get involved. Another team gets involved. Let's just say it's the Steelers, and then you know there's some talk between the Steelers and Ayuk's agent, and then they realize that the Steelers are going to pay them the same the same amount that the 49ers would. It basically is the 49ers saying, okay, this is the reality. This is what you would get if we traded you to another team as well. So it could be that the 49ers, I mean, it sounded like John Lynch was telling people, you know, give me a call on, just call us up and, we're open for business over here. It sounds like he wants to make some deals. He just needs to sort of get things going. Now, whether that's Ayuk related or not, I don't know. But my point is that, you know, they could be the ones that are, you know, encouraging other teams to get involved for various reasons, one of which is to kind of show Ayuk that, okay, this is the realistic figure that we're talking about.
The other more complicated thing I was thinking about is, could they trade, you know, get a one and give up a two, like that Deebo offer from the Jets, right?
Yeah.
You get the Jets' second one, which is 12, you give them your two, and then that could be the way the 49ers move back from 31 and pick up a two and use that, you know, like there's ways I can see them moving around either to get up higher in the first, trade Ayuk, get a receiver, get a tackle, you know, get or get the tackle they really want, and then take a receiver later. That's kind of I could see something like that. Don't you? You guys have projected like some second round receivers there.
Oh yeah,
possibly. You know that could be the way they do it. You get a tackle one, you go get a receiver two. When you're moved around, you save some money. Who would be some of the options if they're like taking a receiver in the second round?
I mean, this guy Adonai Mitchell, that was my draft crush. He could slip early into the second round. Ladd McConkey could from Georgia. That guy Keon Coleman, I was just talking about from Florida State, big bodied receiver. But there's a reason why these guys are slipping into the second round. Shanahan likes the silky smooth route runners. And Mitchell would do that. Just consider what they turned down for Deebo Samuel 2 years ago. It was the 10th overall pick, so a top 10 pick. Now, the 49ers had to give up their second round pick. And I forget, there was a fifth round pick in there as well. I just can't remember whose it was, which way it went. But that to the 49ers, that wasn't even close. I mean, I don't think that they spent a lot of time considering that. Or at least that was what I heard afterwards. So, you know, they had some qualms about Deebo Samuel. I think that was shown by the type of contract that they gave him. I don't think that they have as many about Brandon Ayuk moving forward. So that would tell me that it would take more, you know, 10th overall pick. That's a high pick. Yep. So, the proof is in what the offer is. But that all tells me that the offer has to be sweepingly good, overwhelmingly good for the 49ers to even consider it.
They should have taken that trade, and then they'd have the money to pay Ayuk. Let me go total retrospective.
Yeah, they probably have a bad receiver, though. I mean, none of those receivers from that draft have really Perkins on the Steelers, ironically. Mm-hmm. If he was that great, they wouldn't be angling for an Ayuk trade. So that's the catch. Yeah, you get a cheap rookie receiver. You don't know if he's going to be any good. But he's going to be cheap for a while.
Don't the 49ers always hit their first-round picks and their third-round picks? Like, always? They're just automatic? They never miss?
Yeah, A.J. Jenkins, Rashawn Woods. These are wide receivers they took in the 30s in the last quarter century.
Oh, solid, solid, solid. All right, Barry, anything else you got? Brilliant. What's the betting betting market with the 49ers in these picks?
Well, I mean, if there's one player who people think is going to end up on the 49ers, it's Luke McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. This is from Vegas. This is from an email I got from sportsbetting.ag. And the 49ers, this is fascinating. This is the 49ers versus 31 other teams. Mm-hmm. The 49ers... Will the 49ers draft Luke McCaffrey? Yes, minus 150. No, plus 120. So,
which, if you don't know gambling, you have to bet $150 to win 100. If you bet 49ers take him, and you would bet 100 and you'd win 240 if they don't take him versus all other teams.
Yeah.
Is that you just affecting the betting market, Barros? You just
it was in the New York Times. I mean, that story took off too. So I think, I'm moving the markets these days. Apparently,
I'll take the no on that one, just because it's 31 other. Anyone could jump in there and do it. Anybody?
Let's hop in the car and we'll head to Reno right now. We'll play some bets.
It was the Cal Neva Club. Whatever. I don't even know. I don't understand that unless there's. These places don't have inside knowledge. They're just reading the same stories. They're reading freaking Barros.
That's right.
So I don't know about that. Just because it's versus all 31 other teams, somebody could go get them.
I don't know. Would it be all 31? Because they also have the round, and the top round for him to be drafted in is round 4 at plus 125. Mm-hmm. And the 49ers have 3 picks in the 4th round. So I think that's part of the calculus here as well.
Yeah, I mean, that does increase the odds, but then someone could take him at the end of the third, right? Sure. I mean, somebody could trade up and get him, you know, ahead of the 49ers in the fourth. Like, we've seen these things. And, Is he that good? I'm sorry to be contrary to the New York Times wisdom. Ultimately, the Barrow's New York Times superpower here, but is he that good enough that you could just plot him to a team? Like he's like the 100th best player in the draft. That's random, man. That's kind of random at that point.
They read my nut graph, which was that Shanahan never underestimate Shanahan's fondness for all things McCaffrey. That's it.
I'm betting against Barrow.
Oh, I'm betting four. I'm gonna put my whole mortgage on this thing.
The way
I wish I had bet last year. I don't wish this, but the guy that I knew was going to the 49ers was Jake Moody. Mm. And I knew it was probably going to be the third round. They had
really
three picks.
Yeah. The first, but didn't they use their first third round pick on him though?
Like, no, it was, Cam Latu was there. Oh, okay. No. It was Jair Brown was their first third round pick.
Okay.
And then Moody, and then Cam Latu.
You sure? Yeah, Jake Moody. I just got Tracy Sandler mad at me by saying I think there is a chance he's not their week one kicker. I think there's a chance. Yeah.
Really?
No, I don't think he's. I think he's still be on the team, but like you get the, he got the little hammy last preseason, right? I mean. You never know. Like kicker, young kickers, and they miss a couple, and then they overdo it, and they strain. And I seem to recall a missed extra point in a rather large game. I know he made three good field goals, but, geez, that extra point come up. Was that important in that game at all, Barrows? Like,
I mean, it's top three, top five plays in that game.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that he has not convinced me that he's a guaranteed lock. Not go on IR to start the season kind of guy, but maybe I might be wrong. Great leg, whatever, but enough missed kicks, including a freaking extra point indoors in the Super Bowl in a game that went to overtime seems relatively significant at some point. Okay. You're locking in McCaffrey. I like it. I don't have no locks myself. I don't know. This whole not take a tackle thing, which, man, you kind of nudged me toward a couple weeks ago, and I'm now feeling it very – I mean, I don't think anybody would have come out of that presser yesterday, unless it's a big mislead thinking that Lynch and Shanahan are targeting a tackle. I asked the question, and he could not have been blander about his answer about offensive tackles. Like, just, oh, yeah, there's tackles. There's tackles guards, too, you know. I mean, it just – it wasn't any kind – like – you know, again, this is different, but remember when they had the two and it was like Bosa and Quinnen Williams. They're like great players. There's going to be one that like he was just absolutely sold on they're going to get one of those two. And I'm sure it was Bosa over Williams anyway. Well, they took Bosa over Williams. And there's been other years when you've got a sense that they really like somebody. Not the case. Maybe they just don't. I don't think they love the spot, Barrows. I don't think they love 31.
They've got 22 guys with first round grades, which is normal. I mean, people shouldn't think that that means that it's a bad year. That's actually probably pretty good. Yeah, so, I mean, they don't think that a first round pick is going to be there at 31. It also tells you that they don't think that some of these offensive tackles are first rounders. At least that's how I read it because, you know, they're just projections. Some of them, they just haven't played enough. So I don't know if that means that the 49ers would pass on a Tyler Guyton. He seems to be slipping a little bit down draft boards. He'll be interesting to see. I mean, if he's sitting right there at 31, what do the 49ers do? Do they take somebody else and then take another guy that they're going to kind of sit on the bench for a year? This guy, Roger Rosengarten, gets a little bit more interesting all the time. Worked with Joe Staley, had the fastest 40 time. I mean, that's what Lynch was talking about yesterday. Jerry McDonald had a great question about, you know, how do you project some of these guys to operate in your offense? Because it's such a different offensive line assignment than they have in college. And he said that's the hardest position to forecast. And so you start looking for traits. And one of those traits is how nimble are these guys? How fast do they get off the ball? And this guy's fast. The thing about this guy is that he's a little bit smaller than what their ideal is at tackle. They do have parameters for tackle. They want their tackles to have at least 34-inch arms. And if you're going to make an exception for them, it's got to be a good reason for doing that. So I don't know if end of the second is when you start to kind of relax some of that, but certainly I think if there was a guy like that at 31, they would just pass him because, you know, you start making exceptions to your rules, then what's the point in having the rules in the first place?
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I think the quarterback's a different position, but tackles can be somewhat related to quarterbacks just because you're reading so much. It's so much, you know, with your mind. Experience is so important. And, you know, Trey Lance basically had 1 year as a starter in college, you know, and at a lower level. Like, I think they want to see games out of these guys. You know, you just want to see someone who's been through things, who's been through ups, who's been through downs. You know, he's gone against top competition in practice. And I think the Lance thing, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to avoid. Sometimes you get great quarterbacks who only started for a year. But there's been a lot of busts of guys who only started for a year and not just a quarterback. So maybe that's a tackle thing. You're right. Many of these guys are not. You know, two plus year starters, and it gets a little riskier each, you know, every year you pull away from a guy in college where he does not have that accumulation of those, you know, kind of mental scar tissue, just been going through stuff. So, okay. I'm going to say they end up with Rosengarten. That'll be my guy. I'm not even sure. I've never seen the guy like spotlighted play, but it just seems like a guy they might end up with. Like they just feel like Forster went up to see him with John Lynch. It just feels like a guy that he's talking about. It just that feels like what he's talking about when he's talking about what's available out there. I don't know it at 31, but if you love the guy and you're at 31 and no one else is there, take him. I would say that, you know, unless you're sure you can trade down and into the top of the second round and pick up an extra pick and take him there. But if you're out of first round values and you still have a first round pick, you can take somebody, right? I mean, you just take the next guy because this is the way that works. And maybe he's the 23rd best player in this draft in their minds. I don't know. So this is going to be a wild first round, Barros, man. It's going to be a long one. We're going to be waiting for a long time and we're not going to know what the hell is happening till the very end. Good. We're just sitting around.
It makes it exciting. Yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe it could be that the 49ers calculus is that there are going to be so many tackles taken in the first round and early in the second round that by the time they're picking in late in the second round, they don't really have to worry about other teams picking their guys. So they could have three guys that they like. And Rosengarten could be one. Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. That's another guy that they brought in. Mm-hmm. They're both expected to be taken around the same spot. So, you know, they could be convincing themselves that any of, you know, three guys, we can envision being part of our team there. So, I don't know. I can't wait for it to be done. I mean, it's going to end up being a guy that we haven't even considered. I'm sure it's going to be Cooper DeJean from,
You're right about a kick returner, right? Isn't he a kick returner or something?
I don't know. He's sort of a cornerback slash safety. That would be the reason why he slips because he's got basically a nebulous position.
Well, I think he returned interceptions. I think that's what it was. I think he had more touchdowns than many of the Iowa top offensive players because we know how terrible that was.
That's not saying much.
No. Yeah. Way to go, Kittle University. Way to go. All right, Barros, that's all I got for a really loaded day. This is going to be a loaded day. This is going to be one of the more interesting days in 49er personnel history. Like maybe since, you know, when they traded for Trent Williams and was that the same year, right? When they they traded Buckner a day before Joe Staley is going to retire. They trade for Trent Williams. They draft Kinlaw. They draft this reminds me of that. I don't expect four things to happen, but I expect all different parts of the roster will be under scrutiny or will be in flux or will be discussed based on what they do, certainly in the first 2 days, but maybe just in the first day.
Yeah, or it could be they just pick their defensive lineman at 31, and then in round three they pick a running back.
Yeah, nothing to see here, guys. We just took a defensive lineman, and we're gonna be just fine, everybody. Thank you very much, everybody. Could be. Yeah, I you know what? I laugh about it, but I bet you that's 50% chance of that. 50% chance that they do that. It's because of all the other possibilities that there's drama. That any, you know, seven different things could happen other than that, and six of them are fascinating.
Yeah.
So let's see. And the other boring one is your cornerback thing. Way to go, Barros and Mayoko. Try to team up and give us a cornerback. So
yeah, Wiggins might be too good to be at 31. So, but that's a possibility. One of those cornerbacks.
Let me learn how to write about a cornerback draft at 31. Let me figure out how to do that.
Good luck. deadline. Yeah.
All right, Barros. Way to go. Loaded. Well, if there's something interesting, which I think there will be, we will do an emergency draft recap either Friday or Saturday. Probably Friday. We shall see. Let's get to Thursday, Barros.
Sounds good.
All right. See you, everybody.